Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Gester.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. Sports Daily here on KFH. Welcome to hour number two of the program. Tom, I'm a little distracted. I think somebody just stole a lot of money from one of our businesses. Yeah, that's not to bring everybody into the weeds, but like a check was cashed by somebody the check was not made out to. So I'm not sure how that happens, but it happened, and it was a large check for one of the businesses. So I'm trying to figure out what in the hell is going on.
Maybe to take over here for a little bit while you get to the bottom of it. Or are you good?
Well, I don't know. I'm on a chat with the bank, and I don't know what to do. It's ruined my day, though. Maybe ruin a whole lot more than my day. I don't know what kind. I don't know what help or like coverage is. Like I'm frantically, like what can we do here? What do we do?
Banks have like insurance, right? Like isn't that like?
I don't know. I have no idea. I'm not a banker. I hope so. About to find out. I have a tendency to like go nuclear in about 2 seconds when things like this happen. So I'm trying to, chill. It sucks because I just realized the check was cashed, probably a week and a half ago, but it was, it was cashed like always. It's a normal recurring check. And so I just see that a check was cashed. I didn't look at the check image to see that. Some random person washed the name.
Did you get Shohei Ohtani'd? Did you get...
I hope not.
Did you become best friends with his interpreter? Is that what's going on here?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe, without knowing it, maybe somebody else I know is secretly, I don't think that I've given anybody access to bank accounts.
I think we ought to make that a thing. Anytime anybody, has fraud committed against them, you got Shohei'd or you got Ohtani'd. Anytime like somebody steals money from you, that guy got Ohtani'd. What an idiot. He just got Shohei'd. I like Shohei'd better. That guy just got Shohei'd. So, I'm going to go ahead and trademark that. I think you got Shohei'd in this case. As long as, I wonder whoever like that person was that did that to you, as long as they're not using it for like sports wagering, then at that point, maybe it's not quite Shohei'd, but you pretty much got Shohei'd in this case.
Yeah, I did. I don't know what it is. God dang it. This stupid stuff. Like, if you're out there and you're a thief, don't do that. Like, you just ruin everybody. It's one thing, like, you just ruin people's day, right? Like, you take the money. That's not, that is the worst part of it. Don't misunderstand. That's the worst part of it. But it's not as bad as, like, how it just totally derails everything else that person has to deal with in their lives. Now I can't do anything else. I can't think of anything else. Like I have to now deal with this. Like who's out there doing that? If you're stealing the mail, kiss my rear. We'll say it that way. All right. Let's talk about the Royals, Tommy. We talked about yesterday the curiosity of the schedule so far. 10 of their wins this season have come against the three worst teams in the American League.
they have not won a series yet against a team that has a winning record. They dropped the opener to Toronto, and the schedule now through May 8th is brutal. This is and the starting pitching's wavering a little bit. Like, I'm not saying it's panic time. It's not panic time, just like it wasn't time to overreact. But I'm starting to get a little nervous with the Royals, just a little bit.
I don't know what you're nervous about. I mean, I think that it's been pretty clear who these guys are and where their talent is, you know, what the ceiling is for this team. And yeah, I mean, you fall behind 5-0. Brady Singer gives up 5 runs. But again, I know that they're not getting over the hump, and I don't want to sound like a Royals apologist here, but they did battle back, you know, like they made it interesting, you know, towards the end of the game. And so I do think that that is something to keep in mind. Do they have the firepower to consistently do that against better teams? Probably not. But I think we also probably knew that going into the season, that as long as it was getting better and they were showing signs of that improvement, you know, then that was going to be okay. Now, the fact that they've, you know, lost 3 in a row at home, you know, and they, you know, lose the last 2 to Baltimore, they lose the opener against Toronto at home. Like, yeah, that's not good. You don't want to see that at all. They're 13-10. They're still 3 games over .500. But you and I said yesterday on this show that if they finish that brutal stretch of games hovering around .500, that, you know, at that point you'd still feel fairly good about their prospects overall. I'm still in that boat. Again, barring some kind of like major collapse in the next 2 weeks, which I still don't think is likely, I still feel okay about them.
I feel okay about them. I still am, like, all the things that have made me happy to see, that none of that wavers, I don't think. The starting pitching kind of getting a little rocky would be the outlier to that. Because Vinny Pascantino is now on an 11-game hitting streak, and like all these good things are happening. It's not so much that, as it's tempering expectations to maybe where they should be. You know, you get out to that kind of start, and it's like, hey, this team has a chance at the playoffs. I mean, I went and made a futures bet on them to win the World Series, yeah, just in case, right? I'm wondering if it shouldn't be more like get over the 73.5 wins, right, that they were put at before the season starts. Maybe we need to lower that bar. In fairness, just in fairness, because it you know, that's going to, it's 75 wins this year, I think, will feel successful regardless, unless they just had like some collapse at the end of the year or something. But I think we were maybe a little too trigger happy on putting that bar up there a little higher, when that might be a little unfair.
But who was doing that? I mean, I know you made a futures bet that they win the World Series, but
no,
that's
not
a little
that, but I
gold,
was.
Right?
I was ready to see if this team could contend for a playoff spot.
I think this
and
team
maybe
can
they're
contend
just
for a playoff spot. I'm not ready to write them
off.
I'm
going to say I hope.
But
they
you can be. You
I'm
can,
not writing them off, but I'm going to say hope instead of can.
You can be somewhere in the middle between they miss the playoffs and win the World Series. And again, like, I think it's been well documented, at least what our feelings are, my feelings are, about the AL Central. And yeah, I know that, you know, it's not like it's just a cakewalk. I mean, no division is. And the Guardians do look like they're the real deal. You know, they're 10 games over .500. Their run differential is pretty good. They're going to be probably the major factor in that division. The Tigers, I think, are kind of in the same boat as the Royals, where they're rebuilding and, you know, getting back on track. I think that they're still probably a little bit of a ways away. But I do think that the Royals still can contend in the AL Central. Are they a wild card team? Probably not, based on, you know, what we've talked about with just the American League in general. But I'm not willing to say yet, okay, like, they're going to finish with a losing record. I don't think that's on the table yet. They might still, but I do think that, you know, overall it's going to be a much improved record for this team.
Yeah, I don't know. I just don't want to be terribly disappointed, and I do think it's in the realm of possibilities that they're under .500 for sure, right?
I'm not ready to say that I think they're going to finish under .500. I mean, I don't know. I guess maybe I have a little bit more faith right now in what they're building and who they are. And it comes from, and I mentioned this yesterday, it actually comes from less of their wins and more in which the way that they're losing games. They did it last night too. They were down 5-0. They didn't have the firepower to get all the way back, but they were able to make it interesting towards the end. They did the same thing on Saturday night against Baltimore. Yeah, they were shut out in between those two games on Sunday, but there is a fight with this team that is better than what we've seen in close to a decade in Kansas City. And as the season goes on, they could very easily find themselves in a position where they do have the capability to battle all the way back in these games and to ultimately be able to get wins. I like seeing that as opposed to just folding up like a cheap table, you know, and being able to actually go out there and compete night in and night out. For that reason and that reason alone, I certainly don't think that they're going to finish under 500.
And under 500 is 81, 80 wins is under 500. You know, that's the problem, I think. And it's not a problem, and I don't want to, I'm not trying to be alarmist at all. I'm still very happy with the offseason. I'm still very happy with the start to this season. So I don't want it to be misunderstood by any means. I really like the starting rotation. You know, with Pasquantino heating back up, I like the top of the order. I think the bullpen is getting, they're sort of rounding into form. They've been pretty good lately. So, I mean, there's a lot to still like, even
there's
if
a lot to like. They got Michael Massey back.
Isn't quite as high.
They got Michael Massey back, and will he be a key factor offensively for this team? Maybe. I think that there are flashes of, you know, good things from him. So I do think that, you know, that is something that you can look at as being a positive moving forward as well. I mean, look, if we're talking about a team that is 13-10 right now through the first 23 games, and, you know, about how we think that, you know, there might be some concerns there and they might be leaking water a little bit, I'd much rather have that conversation than the conversation that we had on April 23rd last year, right, where we knew that it was over before it even got started for this team. So, yeah, I think that all, within the context of all of that, yeah, like I'm willing to look at this from a glass half full.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Mentality.
I'm going to be glass right in the middle mentality because I will say this. It is still a successful season if the team wins, let's call it 75 games. It will still have been a successful season. The moves they made will have been worth it, but it does add a little pressure to next season, I think. We'll see. Look, Bobby Witt Jr. is going to continue to get better. Vinny Pasquantino is probably going to get a little better as the season goes on. Salvador Perez is, I've predicted, and I don't have any doubt about it, going to have more of a renaissance year, you know, if he can stay healthy, that gets him into some elite offensive numbers, especially for a catcher. And if all those things happen, they're going to win some games. I do have some concern that the starting pitching at home has been shaky now. What would we call it? Three straight starts. And Lugo probably not as shaky as, you know, as Reagan's and then Singer last night. They really need Waka to, kind of do his thing, right? You're a veteran. Get in there, settle things down a little bit, and let's see if he can bounce them back on that. Because, again, like, there's just no relief coming. The schedule until May 8th is absolutely terrible. Like, it's really, you got the Blue Jays, You got the Rangers. You got the Brewers. It's going to be tough over this stretch. And they only get one day off in that stretch, too. So you got to go back and then forward. There's only one day off until May 8th. So it's a grind right now. And we'll learn a little bit about the team. It's exciting for that, you know, for that reason, too, I think, to see them, see if they can't rise up to this a little bit.
So I'm looking at, you know, the number of games between now and the end of this long stretch. So they've got 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14 games between now and May 7th. So, you know, right before they kick off a four-game set on the road in Los Angeles to take on the Angels, they'll wrap up the homestand against Milwaukee. After those 14 games, and knowing what their record is right now at 13-10, where do you want to see these next 14 games at from a record perspective? Do they need to go 7-7 in these games?
Yeah.
Can they go?
Yeah. Do you think it needs to be 7-7. Yeah.
But then that mean, like, as we're talking about hovering around 500.
Because a lot of them are at home.
Then
I
feel like, well, yeah, I mean, I think that the only, let me look here. So they're on the road against the Blue Jays and the Tigers. So, yeah, so there's 1, 2, 3, 4. There's 6 of, so 8 games are at home, 6 games are on the road. When we talk about hovering around 500, I mean their overall record when it's all said and done. So I think they could go in the next 14 games, you know, they could go 6-8, and I'd be okay with that. They could maybe even go 5-9 at the end of this stretch.
Yeah.
And then at that point, I'm like, okay, like they're still overall hovering around 500, so I feel okay about that. I don't think they need to go 7-7 or better in the next 14 games to still have a fairly optimistic view of this team.
I agree. The only problem with that is there will be no relief, I don't think, in the American League this year, right? I don't know that you're going to get many games against truly bad teams. Right now, the Astros are playing bad. We all know the Astros aren't a bad team. The Twins are playing bad. We all know the Twins aren't a bad team. We can point to the White Sox and say, that's a bad team. Maybe the A's, right? Although they've been playing pretty well. We think, you know, probably even is even more fair. The A's will be bad. But, you know, the A's have surprised us in the past. So maybe 2. There's not, so when we're saying, you know, oh, maybe they go 5-9 in this stretch because they're playing really good teams, they're always going to be playing really good teams. They've already played 7 against the White Sox. They don't have many left against the White Sox the rest of the schedule. So it's you just don't get it at all at any level in the American League. The American League is loaded this year. We've talked about, I mean, there really aren't bad teams. There's the White Sox and probably the A's, and that's it. That's it. So that's what has me worried, too, is the pecking order, right? If 5-9 is good enough when you play bad teams, so if you extrapolate that out over, you know, over the entirety of the season, you're not looking at a very good season. So that's why it's like, well, maybe 5-9 isn't good enough. I know big picture getting, you know, being at 500, you're probably okay. But at some point, the Royals need to win more than 5 out of, you know, those 14 games when they play good teams, because they're kind of just going to always be playing good teams, especially with the Tigers looking like they are taking the same steps the Royals are.
I think the big question, though, and this might be really at the root of it where you and I are differing, is how good do we really think this team is from a talent perspective? Not as far as the competition they're playing or how easy their schedule is. Genuinely at the root of it, how talented, how good do you and I think this team actually is? I think I probably think they're maybe slightly better than you do, you know, because I'm more optimistic about their chances to be able to hang around based on what I've seen earlier this season. Again, not just from the way that they've won, but the way that in a lot of times they've lost games. I think they're a lot closer than maybe what a lot of people initially thought they would be at the beginning of the season. I think they're a better team overall than probably you do. And so that might be why you're a little bit more pessimistic about it.
I'm trying not to be pessimistic. I'm trying to be realistic. That's where I've been the last 4 days or so. I just want to be realistic, right? I was very excited in the beginning. I've been very bummed lately, and I want to find that middle ground of what reality is. Right? Because I want so badly for this team to get back into playoff contention after the last few years we've dealt with them, that I think my expectations are probably just a little bit too high. And so I'm trying to bring that back down to reality. That, again, that doesn't mean anything as far as enjoying this summer of baseball at a far higher level than we have been. I still think, no matter what their record is, Bobby Witt Jr., Vinny Pascantino, Salvador Perez are going to be good. You know, the starting pitching, jury's still out a little bit on the consistency and the long-term nature of it. I mean, it's going to be devastating if Cole Reagans all of a sudden doesn't, you know, continue what he built last year and then the first part of this season. I know it's only been one bad start, but, you know, those are the things to watch as much as anything, win-loss record, whatever. What, you know, what do you have? But let's go Royals. Let's get this thing back in order. Don't do this to us. Like, give us this year. We've waited long enough. I think we've put in our time. That's a 6:40 first pitch tonight. You'll have to listen on the Odyssey app tonight. We'll have Wichita State baseball here on the air. It's Michael Wacha. This is what he's here for. You got a veteran. Stop the bleeding a little bit. Kevin Gausman on the mound for the Blue Jays. At some point, he'll get it turned around. He has been really bad, though, thus far this season. Can the Royals take advantage of that? We will see later tonight. It's a 6:40 first pitch against the Blue Jays, and we'll be here to react to it tomorrow. All right, we're going to take a quick break. I'm going to continue to play Internet Detective and figure out who stole my money during the break. We'll be back with more Sports Daily after this.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It's Sports Daily on KFH. Tommy Caster, Jacob Albrock, Jad Chambers producing the program today. Our KFH IHOP hotline is open at 869-1240. Jacob, Jad had to step aside for a quick second. I think he's trying to figure out that whole financial thing. So
yeah,
that's not a fun situation to be in. You know, so I don't know how long it's going to take him, maybe just a few minutes, but
it's been a while since I've got one, but you always hate getting that text from your bank.
It's awful.
Oh, man.
Or like your credit card company, or, you know, you get like an unauthorized charge or something. Have you ever gotten one before? I'm on like a couple different monitoring services, gotten a notification that like your information has been found on the dark web. Have you gotten that notification before? That's a creepy one.
Yeah.
So I got that from, I don't know, it was like a LifeLock or something. And it was, and I had signed up. I was part of like their monitoring. And it's like, your information's been found on the dark web. It's been compromised. Like, great. What does that mean? Does that mean that like I'm going to have, like drug runners coming to my house? Like, what does that mean?
It could mean a lot of things. It could also be really benign, and it could really come back to hurt you. That's one of those things, unfortunately, something like your name getting, because, again, that's something that's not your fault. You know, somebody was hacked. They had a database of names. All of a sudden, the names and all the information that was there was put on the dark web, and it just kind of depends on what the service was. Was this something that you just, you know, got newsletters from, so all they'll have is your name or your email address? Or was this somebody who has your banking information?
Your social security number,
right.
Your address, you know, things like that. And that's the whole, like, identity theft thing. What do you think is a worse situation? Both of these situations are bad.
Oh, yeah.
But what do you think is worse? A situation like what Jacob is dealing with right now, where, you know, you don't know the root cause of it, and where, like, it's nefarious potentially, and you've got to do some investigating and figure out exactly what's going on, get to the bottom of it. Or a situation like Shohei Ohtani, where it's his friend who he trusted and betrayed him. There's really no investigation. You know that the guy did it, but then you're betrayed. Like, what would you rather have happen?
Rather have happen?
I mean, like, both are bad, right? But, like, which one is worse?
Well, if it's somebody you know, at least they're within punching distance.
True.
So you can exact revenge a lot easier.
But wouldn't that, like, cut you deeper, you know, like if it was somebody close to you, like a friend of yours, you know, who stole money from you? Like, that's kind of what I've been thinking about with the Shohei Ohtani situation that's happened over the last few weeks. Is like, that's like his closest friend in America, you know, betraying him. Like, you know, if my information's found on the dark web, I don't know who's on the dark web. Like, if somebody steals a check from me like they did with Jacob potentially, like, I don't know them more than likely. I don't really have a lot of, like, you know, heartfelt feelings one way or another. I'm just mad as opposed to being hurt.
Yeah. I don't know. Getting hurt would be bad. Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, I think they're obviously both terrible situations.
Really?
Jacob, we're talking about, you know, the difference between like something in your situation where you have to get to the bottom of it and play detective, or like in the Shohei Ohtani case where there really was no investigation. It was just a really close friend that betrayed him. Which one is worse? Like knowing or not knowing the person who's doing this?
It's interesting because he's Shohei's guy. He knows exactly who it is. And how do you suppress that urge to fight him? Go find him and, you know, kick
his ass.
That's
what Jad said. Jad's like, you know, like, at least, you know, the guy's in punching distance, you know, punching range.
Right.
I'm like, well, yeah, but you're also dealing with like a betrayal and like a hurt emotion as opposed to like bad actors who you're just mad at, you know, and like angry with. I don't know which one's worse.
I don't either. Probably knowing somebody because there is an emotional tie. There's no emotional tie to me and whoever this jackass is. Like, I don't have any emotional tie to them anyway. I mean, I'd like to see them go to jail. Which Shohei's not going to have any problem seeing that part of it. But at the same time, like, yeah, you'd be stuck there because no matter how bad it is, like, do you really want to see your friend go to jail?
If they, you know, stole all this $16 million from me, sure. Absolutely,
that'd
I would.
Be hard.
I'll be if the you, one to turn had the key.
If you had a genuine emotional connection to him, though, like, I wouldn't want to see that either. Maybe I'm a sucker, but I would be like, man, that kind of sucks that they have to go to jail now. We've had other situations where bad things have happened in the business world, and I know that, like, if I pursue this to the highest level, like, it will be really bad for this person. And so, like, do you do that, or are you like, you know what, just get out of here, like, whatever. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I think that gets a little trickier, and for him, I got so much sympathy for Shohei on this thing. Like, if it really was what we think it was, and he did, that just sucks to on so many levels. It is just absolutely brutal. Absolutely brutal. My situation today is going to be brutal for different reasons. It's something that I do not have time for. I mean, we're going to have to go in and change accounts. Like, this is going to be a nightmare. Like, come on now. I've made no sense. Like, I am a very impatient person. I don't have time for this. Like, I don't have time to go back through and do all this stuff again. Nobody cares. All right, everybody. my pity party's over. Cry for me today. Pour one out for me. NFL draft's coming, Tommy. You know, we've talked a ton about the quarterbacks. We've talked a little bit about the wide receivers. It is a draft where there are going to be some really good players that are playing other positions. I'm certain of it. But quarterbacks take center stage. The Broncos have said they want one. Well, they go and they trade for Zach Wilson. Do you think that has any impact whatsoever on what they'll do at quarterback in this draft?
It should. I mean, it's very rare, I think, when a team makes a move at quarterback and they end up worse off than they were before they made the move. I'd rather roll with a quarterback room that's led by Jarrett Stidham as opposed to a quarterback room currently led by Zach Wilson. I think that they've got to try to figure out something in the draft. They probably will, I'm guessing. But then it's completely wide open, I think. I think you throw your hands up in the air and just be like, I guess somebody go out there and do something. You know, if it's Stidham or Wilson or whoever this draft pick is, if they end up going that direction, you kind of just have to, I think, have no expectations at all going into the season. Because, you know, if you do, those expectations are certainly not going to pan out. I think this is a situation of Sean Payton believing that he's got the secret formula to make quarterbacks better and to make them really, really good. You know, and I think that you can point a little bit. I'm going to give Peyton a little bit of credit and say that Russell Wilson was better last year than he was the year without Sean Payton in Denver. But I'm not sure that, you know, that's something that can be replicated in this way with the guys they currently have on the roster or even in early first round draft picks. So I'm not optimistic that even if they do take a quarterback early in this draft, that we're going to see any kind of success from the quarterback position in Denver next season.
Yeah, I agree. They don't think they can trade for Zach Wilson. They don't think they can trade for Zach Wilson, then he all of a sudden becomes this great quarterback, do they?
No, I don't think so.
So why do it is one question.
Well, because I think that Sean Payton thinks that he can fix anybody and everybody. I just don't think that it's going to be, you know, I don't think it'll pan out that way if Zach Wilson ends up being the guy in Denver.
I don't think so either, because I don't believe in Zach Wilson as the player. Sean Payton can't. I mean, I know his ego's big. Is his ego big enough to not draft? I don't know what position they're going to be in to draft a quarterback anyway. Do you? Like, are they really going to be able to get aggressive enough to outmaneuver these other teams that are in the mix for one of these quarterbacks?
Do they have the firepower to be able to make those moves in the draft? I don't know.
Are they clear? I think they're clear. Let me look. I think they're clear of the Russell Wilson deal now. Let's see what they've got, because it's going to take a lot, because there's going to be a lot of teams in that mix. So they've got round 1, 3, 4, 3, 5, 6, and 7. So basically they'd probably have to give up their one in a swap and maybe that third, and then they just don't pick until the fourth round. That's not good business either for a team that's trying to rebuild. The other thing, though, that's been rumored in any potential trade is they would be willing to trade either Cortland Sutton or Patrick Surtain. So, yeah, a one in one of those guys probably would be enough, I would imagine, to move up, especially Surtain. And quite honestly, like if you're the Chargers, and I know it's in division, like there ain't going to be a better offer than 12 overall and Patrick Surtain for that pick. So if the Broncos really want to go do it, they'd be able to go do it. Cardinals, same thing. If you're not sold on just for sure taking one of those wide receivers there, Patrick Surtain and a 12 for that pick. I mean, or let's say it's Cortland Sutton. Tommy, right now, would you trade away the rights to Marvin Harrison Jr. for Cortland Sutton and the 12th overall pick?
I would. I think I would.
I might.
Yeah, I think I think I probably would do that. Yeah. And it's not because I'm not high on Marvin Harrison Jr. It's because if I'm in charge of the Broncos, I'm not happy at all with my quarterback room, and I've got to do something now to try to make that better. And so it goes back to your original question. Why did they trade for Zach Wilson then? I can't think of any kind of like legitimate rational reason to do that. I just think it's Sean Payton saying that he thinks he can work a miracle with the guy and, you know, wanted to make that move and bring him in and do that. Because I don't know why you just don't move forward with Stidham and then draft a quarterback, and then you've got a rookie quarterback that you can hopefully have be the face of the franchise. Zach Wilson's been in the league for a couple of years now. He's not shown it at all. So I don't know the upside to this. That's why I said at the very beginning of this conversation, it doesn't happen very often when a team trades for a quarterback or makes a move with a quarterback and they end up worse off in their room than they were before they made that move. And I think that's where the Broncos are at right now. So I think you absolutely have to give up, whether it's Cortland Sutton or, you know, whoever, Patrick Surtain, to go and get your quarterback of the future. That's what I would do if I were them.
Yeah. They would do it. Would you do it if you were the Chargers? Of course you would. I'm trying to think, like, would you do it if you were on the fence, and who would this involve? Let's say it's the Giants somehow. Let's say it's the Giants and you are in a position to take, the fourth quarterback off the board, which I don't think will happen, but let's just say it stood pat and they were in position to take the fourth quarterback off the board. Would you trade that pick for Surtain and 12? I think you certainly would, wouldn't you? I mean,
yeah, I would.
For sure.
I would.
Unless, though, and again, this is where it gets a little tricky with a team like the Giants, unless you like that fourth quarterback, then there's nothing you would trade for that, right? Like, if you evaluate, that's what, and that maybe that's the fun of the draft day movie. The problem is we all, and we don't do it on purpose, I think it just happens, like we all consume this stuff so often that we sort of just assume the big boards are what we see on television, right? And generally speaking, ESPN, NFL Network, CBS, like all the major things, like the big boards are pretty much the same, right? They're pretty close, if nothing else. So how do the teams have these guys ranked? Because I would imagine that teams' big boards look nothing like the big boards we see on television, because there's a lot of different things that go into it, and they have, you know, entire departments of scouting people looking at these players. That's what would make the get on the phone and trade portion of this so dang interesting to me, like a behind-the-scenes look. Has any network, like does HBO, have we done this before? And maybe there's too much secret information involved in this, but if we're following everybody in the locker rooms and doing this, why don't we documentary one of these teams on draft day and the calls that
they do
make?
I mean, isn't that part of, don't they show some of that in Hard Knocks? I mean, isn't that like kind of like that process?
I don't know. I don't watch Hard Knocks. I'm not sure.
I think like some of those stuff,
now that you say
it's kind of memorialized, I think.
Ballard, the old GM for the Colts, maybe we did get inside one of his drafts. Like, that's what we need. Like, get that on there. I would watch that like crazy. Just a full-on sit at the table. Just like, you know, that draft day movie. I want to hear the phone conversations, or like what was Moneyball. You know, I want to hear those conversations, those real conversations. Now, there's probably a lot of players alienated in those, like getting true opinions from people and listening to the maneuvering of a GM. Also, if you had to like cherry pick a professional job that you could like do anything, I don't know that being an NFL GM would be the greatest job ever. In fact, I don't think it probably would be, because you'd have to deal too much with like numbers and contracts. But being an NFL GM on draft day might be the most fun job that could possibly exist. Right? What's better than that?
Yeah, I
it's real life.
Everybody
fantasy
does
football.
It. Everybody does it on, you know, yeah, fantasy football, on Madden, you know, when they're playing video games or whatever. There's a different level of pressure, though, when you're actually doing it for real. So that's why I'm not sure, like, on if you could do it just for a draft day and then just walk away. You'll be like, I'm done. I did my job. I'm out.
Yeah, I'd need to hire a guy to crunch the contract numbers and work the salary cap. I'll just do all the other stuff. That's what I would need. Just, yeah, one-day gig. I'll be your draft day guy.
You can't even handle, you know, a check issue with your business right now.
Dude, I'm telling you right now.
Much less crunching salary cap numbers in the NFL.
If I'm here with you tomorrow, be surprised, because I'm about to have to go and like change information that will affect, I don't know, 30 different things that come in and out. I want to vomit right now if you want the absolute truth, but we'll just keep rolling forward. Appreciate everybody being on this side journey with me that was unexpected today. Goodness gracious. Anybody got about 10 grand laying around that I can borrow? You know, that'd be nice. Be back. More Sports Daily after this.
...97.5 and 1240 KFH.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Sports Daily here on KFH. We appreciate everybody listening over the air. We appreciate everybody listening on our live stream. KFHradio.com is a good place to find that. I always tell, like, if you want to hear us, you're not in your car, you want to hear us, just get it on that live stream. You can throw it up at work, throw an earbud in, nobody will even know you're listening, right? You just put it on in the background and listen in. If you want to comment, you can do that too. If you just find our video stream on Facebook, YouTube, or X, you can find it. You can leave us a comment. You can still interact with the show all you want. But yeah, that stream, that live stream is a great way to take us in if you're not around a radio. You can pull it up on your phone, Tommy, KFHradio.com. Just click that listen live. I do that all the time when I'm mowing the yard. In fact, if I want to listen to a Royals game, if I want to listen to anything, I'll just though on that live stream, it's a great resource. We also podcast out the show there. Maybe there was a great interview. Maybe you want to hear more about my banking segment, which said nobody ever.
You don't think that's compelling content?
No, you can go back and if you want to see me squirm. By the way, good. Like, if I'm pale in the face or look like I want to vomit, you know, that's you could see that on the video stream. You might be able to hear here. I don't know if you can hear it. What else in this draft, Tommy, has your attention? I can't look much further than the quarterbacks, honestly. You know, all of these mock drafts, you've got teams moving up, you've got teams moving back. I'm looking at, Will Brinson's. This was about a week ago, and we're wondering where these quarterbacks are going to go. He's got Drake May as the second pick, J.J. McCarthy as the third, and Jaden Daniels through a trade falling all the way to 5, and the Vikings moving up and trading with the Chargers for Jaden Daniels. I don't think it's a consensus. And the more I look at this, the more I think this adds to the intrigue. After Caleb Williams, I'm finding almost no consensus right now between May, McCarthy, and Daniels. Again, I was looking at, you know, somebody's stuff last night. You can find it at fantasypoints.com just to give them the love for a lot of the time. I'll look at their scouts because I think they're pretty good. They had McCarthy 1 over Caleb Williams, and they really like Caleb Williams too. They had McCarthy 1. And so, like, it's far from a consensus once you get after Caleb Williams. This Will Brinson CBS mock has, I don't think he has Penix going for a while. So, like, we don't even know. Yeah, he's got it at pick 30 in round 1. He, by the way, does have the Chiefs taking a wide receiver, Malachi Corley out of Western Kentucky. I don't think they're going to reach on a receiver, and that would have been a reach. I don't know, Tommy. I think once we get through Caleb Williams, that's also going to, you know, for a while there, I was like, well, we'll just pencil in Jaden Daniels at, you know, at number 2. But the more of the different mocks I look at now, that's not how people have it. So I don't think it's a foregone conclusion that Jaden Daniels goes 2 to the Commanders. I think it's Caleb Williams, and then it's kind of just up in the air as far as the rankings of the rest of these quarterbacks.
I told you yesterday, I like Jaden Daniels maybe even more than I like Caleb Williams. So yep. If it were me, I'm not saying that if I'm Ryan Poles and setting, you know, for the Bears and working for the Bears that, you know, I'm going to pass up the opportunity on Caleb Williams. That's a difficult position that he's being paid a lot of money to be able to figure out, and they've made up their mind on Caleb Williams. What I'm saying, though, is that from an outsider looking in and just a guy that watched both Caleb Williams throughout his career in college and Jaden Daniels in his career and Jaden Daniels win the Heisman, I think I'd almost rather have Jaden Daniels. And so that's why it'll surprise me. It's not going to surprise me that the Bears are taking Caleb Williams. They made that decision. But it will surprise me if the Commanders pass on Jaden Daniels. You know, because I think if he falls, like, to number 3, I don't think the Patriots are going to trade that number 3 pick. I think they will take Jaden Daniels. I've got a hard time believing that Daniels will fall past number 3 in the draft.
Yeah, maybe. The Patriots, it would surprise all of us in a quarterback-rich class when they definitely need quarterback if they don't. Again, though, like we've said 1,000 times, it really only matters how they evaluate the quarterbacks, right? Maybe they love Drake May, and that's who they're in love with, and they think they can trade down otherwise. Because you got to imagine, too, like the trade partner could just be the Giants, right? And then you could still get a quarterback maybe there at 6. Or, you know, they could be the Vikings, and let's say you really like Penix if you're the Patriots. Maybe you trade down with the Vikings at that point and pick it. What are they at 11? And think you can get Penix at 11, which you probably can, maybe. I still think a team's going to reach on Penix. But let's, you know, it's at least in the realm of possibility to do that if you're the Patriots and try to acquire, you know, an extra pick or two that helps them in their overall rebuild. I could see that too. That's why I keep saying, like, it really only matters who they evaluate and what their prospect ranking is. But you also have to guess at what other teams' prospect rankings are. And that's what makes it challenging. Because it like at the top, it matters what you think of the players, yes. But if you're trying to trade picks and wheel and deal, it also matters what the other teams underneath you think of the picks. If you love a player that you think you can get five picks later, that's great. But the risk comes that, well, what if somebody else in those five picks also loves that player? Then you might lose out on that player. And at that point, you should just take your player, even if it's a reach, I think, quarterback especially. Like if let me put it this way. Let's say the Patriots were in love with Michael Penix, Tommy. If I'm the Patriots and I'm in love with that player at quarterback, I would just take him at three.
Really?
You know what I mean? Like, it's the only way to guarantee you get him. It's the only way. And at quarterback, you can't take chances there. If you think a quarterback is that dude, you just got to go. You can mess around with the other positions, not at that one. If you loved that guy there and you think you could get him five picks later, just take him. Just take him. Don't take the risk. Because what happens if you trade down and you don't get him? I think that's far riskier than just overdrafting by a few spots a guy that you think is really good anyway. 869-1240. We're getting close, man. Draft's going to be here very, very soon, and we'll know all of these answers. We'll be back. More Sports Today. We'll wrap it up after this.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.